Lily Jin received her BA and MA in English Language and Literature from Guangdong University of Foreign Studies and her PhD in English Literary Studies from the Chinese University of Hong Kong. She was invited as a visiting scholar by the University of Reading and the University of Lancaster in UK in 1997 and 2004. She is presently Associate Professor of English and Director of Postgraduate Literary Studies at Guangdong University of Foreign Studies. She teaches BA and MA courses at her home university, including 20th Century English Language Drama and World Literatures in English. She has published over 10 academic papers in national journals of literary and cultural studies. Her research interests are contemporary Western drama, world literatures in English, gender studies, and queer theories. She's currently a visiting scholar at the Center for Women's and Gender Studies at UBC. Thank you.
Okay, welcome to the talk. And I think this is quite challenging for me to give a talk to a group of audience who speak English either as first language or official language, while English is the foreign language for me. But still, I'm honored to give the lecture. And as Rahel has mentioned, that my presentation is based on one of the chapters in my PhD dissertation entitled Through Female Eyes, Polo Vogo and the Dramatic Tradition, completed at the English Department of the Chinese University of Hong Kong. And the topic of today's presentation is Through the Eyes of Desdemona, an Intertextual Study on Polo Vogo's Desdemona, a play about a handkerchief. Not just a few words on Polo Vogo. I'm not very sure whether you are familiar with this American playwright, contemporary playwright or not. Vogel, born in 1951, is a remarkable living playwright whose innovative work takes up significant social and cultural issues such as gender and sexual identities, the status of women, the AIDS epidemic, and so on. Though Vogel started writing plays in the early 1970s, recognition of her works has been complicated largely due to the often difficult subject matters tackled in her works and the unconventional theatrical techniques applied by her in dramatizing the issues. But Vogel's plays have gradually gained public recognition. In 1992, the Baltimore Wards, which is a critique on social bias against AIDS and its victims, won the Obie Award for Best Play and earned Vogel international fame. In 1998, Vogel's winning of the Pulitzer Prize for drama for her How I Learned to Drive secured her place as a notable contemporary woman playwright. What I'll discuss today is one of Vogel's major plays, Desdemona, a play about a handkerchief. The play is a rewriting of Shakespeare's Othello, in which the lives of women in Shakespeare's tragedy are set in the spotlight. The play takes place in a messy back room in the palace of Cyprus. And the action is perceived through the three female characters, Desdemona, Emilio, and Bianca. In the play, Desdemona is degraded to a promiscuous woman who delights in using vulgar language and idling away time in Cyprus by being a prostitute. Emilio is a grumbling and coarse kitchen maid who longs to rise on the social ladder, through marriage, while Bianca becomes an independent-minded new woman who runs her business in prostitution. Compared with their images in Shakespeare's Othello, the three female characters are defamiliarized. In Vogel's rewriting, apart from having the female characters presented in the foreground, there's no male characters actually appear in Vogel's theatrical world. Despite the noticeable changes in the rewriting, what remains unchanged is the fateful handkerchief, searched for by Desdemona from the very beginning of the play, and her punishment of death for having lost the handkerchief. Ever since its publication, critics have tended to approach the play from feminist perspectives in terms of how the play subverts the traditional expectation of gender roles. However, an intertextual study on the play by applying Julia Kristeva's theory on intertextuality shows that Vogel's rewriting has a dialogical or even collaborative relationship with the source text on the issues of gender roles and the relations. Now I'll discuss the intertextuality between Shakespeare's Othello and Vogel's rewriting by focusing on the character of Desdemona. In Shakespeare's Othello, as you know, Desdemona is contained with the idea of married life, in which there is the integration of the soul and the understanding of the mind. Unlike Shakespeare's Desdemona, who pays a tribute to the spiritual love between Othello and herself, Vogel's Desdemona seems to be enchanted by the exotic appearance of Othello and desires to see other worlds. Through marrying Othello, she confesses, "I caught a glimpse of his skin, and how I thrilled, I thought. If I marry this strange dark man, I can leave this narrow little Venice with its whispering piazzas behind. I can escape and see other worlds." In revealing Othello's personal charm, Vogel's Desdemona is comical or even cynical, which is completely different from the earnest and pious Desdemona in Othello. So this Brechtian defamiliarization of Desdemona may astonish us considerably, for we have been too familiar with the angel-like Desdemona in Shakespeare's play. But this is the desired effect which Vogel intends to create. Vogel is not a realist and is deeply influenced by the Brechtian alienation effect. Like Brecht, she will not allow her audience to lose their capacity for critical thinking by comfortably identifying with the character. By defamiliarizing Desdemona, Vogel stimulates us to view the character with fresh and critical perspectives. In Shakespeare's Othello, Desdemona is immersed in her husband's valor and fails to perceive other aspects of his character. But Vogel endows her Desdemona with more insights into the personality of Othello. She is thrilled by Othello's strange darkness, which provides her with hope for escaping the social confinement of Venice. Desdemona's application of dark to describe Othello does not necessarily limit its meaning to the color of Othello, and it also refers to the mystery and the uniqueness of Othello. At first sight, she naively believes that the distinct origin of Othello may lead her to a brand new world away from Venice. Nevertheless, the marriage between the two does not free Desdemona from the restriction of the Venetian ideology. Instead, it brings Othello to the dominant Venetian culture. As we have learned from Shakespeare's Othello, that Iago, a representative of white Venetian men constantly imparts the misogynic views to the newly married Moor by reminding Othello of Desdemona's likelihood of going astray sexually. In Othello, Desdemona seems to be puzzled by her husband's unreasonable fury at the loss of the handkerchief, in wondering, "My lord is not my lord, nor should I know him," in Act 3, Scene 2. In this aspect, Vogel's Desdemona is perceptive enough to detect the split personality of her husband by realizing that under that exotic facade was a porcelain white Venetian. In her eyes, Othello is only different from other Venetian men in appearance, and ideologically, he shares the similar view with them in terms of gender identity and female chastity. Thus, it would be impossible for Desdemona to fulfill her previous desire to leave this narrow little Venice. Her sexual adventure in Bianca's brothel in Cyprus is an attempt to free herself from the yoke of disappointing marriage in order to reclaim her subjectivity in the other world. In her revision, Vogel endeavors to recapture that spirit for Desdemona after her marriage. In the play, Desdemona constantly vents her resentment of the bondage of marriage, which she refers to as the purdah. The visual image of the purdah is a screen mainly used in Indian to keep women separate from strangers or men, and indicates the social system in which women are isolated from the outside world and confined to the domestic sphere. In accounting the inevitable fate of women being clad in purdah from the cradle to the grave, Desdemona's tone is sarcastic and bitter. The purdah is supposed to be woven with such delicate and beautiful fabrics as linen or lace, but in fact is like a tough and solid wool, which not only physically imprisons women, but also does so ideologically. In order to be respectful matrons, women should not step beyond the boundary plotted by the dominant social discourse. Otherwise, they will be considered as unrespectable or fallen. However, Vogel's Desdemona has a strong desire to break the purdah and see those other worlds which married women never get to see. In this aspect, her strength is similar to that of Shakespeare's Desdemona at the beginning of the play, who is addressed by Othello as the fair warrior for her insistence on traveling with him to Cyprus. Courageous as they are different in their own ways. Shakespeare's Desdemona seeks to fulfill her role as a loyal wife and to strengthen the marital tie between Othello and herself, while Vogel's Desdemona tried to remain independent and insightful even after marriage by acknowledging the weakness of Othello and her own personal needs. In Vogel's play, Desdemona's determination to search for freedom after marriage is embodied by the journey motive. That is the desire to go away from the place that is stifling. Cyprus, which is wild but exciting compared with the civilized Venice, can provide Desdemona with this experience, which is so different from respectable matrons. In Cyprus, Desdemona is a great admirer of Bianca, the owner of a brothel, and she regards Bianca as an idol of the new woman who can make her own living in the world, who scorns marriage for the lie that it is. In order to become a new woman like Bianca, who is a subject from conjugal duties, Desdemona actively indulges herself in the sexual journey in Bianca's brothel and has miraculous sexual experiences with different men. In one of her speeches, Desdemona openly demonstrates the thrill, mystery, freedom in being a prostitute. Her presenting herself as a prostitute is in stark contrast against the conventional image of prostitutes who serve as sexual objects for male sexuality. Instead, Desdemona consumes her own sexuality in an active and enjoyable way. In one of her speeches, she emphasized her own initiative and her personal feelings during sexual intercourse by constantly using the term I, particularly the one in the last line, I close my eyes and in the dark of my mind, oh, how I travel, which indicates her enjoyment during the sexual journey. In many other literary works, it is usually the man who acts as the agency during sexual intercourse. Vogel's Desdemona subverts such an equation by replacing the female body with that of male, and the male agency with her own female initiative. The journey motive is reinforced by Desdemona's plan to elope with her cousin, Ludovico. In fact, Vogel does not invent a relationship between Desdemona and Ludovico out of nothing. In Shakespeare's Othello, Ludovico seems to be the opposite of Othello in terms of his noble birth, gentle manners, and handsome appearance. In Act IV, after Desdemona is angrily rebuked by Othello and ordered to bed, she cannot help showing her admiration for Ludovico in her conversation with Emilio. She says, "This Ludovico is a proper man," in Act IV, Scene 3. Though it may go too far to assume that Desdemona's appraisal of Ludovico suggests her love towards him, her appreciation of Ludovico's decorum is self-evident. In her revision, Vogel pushes the ambiguous attitudes of Desdemona to an extreme and defamiliarizes her as a deviant and lustful young lady. In the play, Desdemona boasts to Emilio how she has sex with Ludovico even in the chapel. By doing so, Desdemona not only proudly presents herself as a descendant of Eve who buys the forbidden apple deep, but also challenges the authority of Christianity, which preaches the faithfulness of love and the pursuit of spiritual fulfillment. Unlike Desdemona in Othello, who constantly declares that she is a Christian in order to defend her honor, Vogel's Desdemona is anxious to elope with Ludovico as a resistance against the restriction of married life and the dominant religious belief. In Vogel's rewriting, apart from the journey motive, which suggests Desdemona's yearning for freedom in the other worlds, and her ideological confrontation against the social mores, the two major stage props, the handkerchief and the bedsheets, also serves as significant indications for Desdemona's rebellious nature. In Shakespeare's Othello, the handkerchief is sanctified as a symbol of love and fidelity, which is given by an Egyptian magician to his mother and is passed down to Othello. Othello presents it to Desdemona as a token of love. In the eyes of Othello, the handkerchief is transformed from the magic power exerted by the wife to restrain the husband's sexuality to that employed by the husband to maintain the faithfulness of the wife. Moreover, he equates the possession of the handkerchief with that of honor. Unlike her husband, Shakespeare's Desdemona is not that obsessed with the magic power of the ethical quality of the handkerchief. For example, in her discussion with Emilio, Desdemona confesses, "I had rather lose my purse full of crusados," in Act 3, Scene 4. This implies in the mind of Desdemona that the handkerchief belongs to the same camp with her purse, both of which are material possessions. In her revision, Vogel seems to be on the side of Desdemona and further belittles Othello's sacred handkerchief in a jeering way. For both Desdemona and Emilio, the handkerchief is no longer magic or sacred. In their words, it is just like anybody's handkerchief after you blow your nose in it, and it is all heavy and wet. Vogel's deliberate materialization of the handkerchief is a biting mockery of the tradition in its persistence and hypocrisy concerning marriage fidelity. Besides the handkerchief, which has been the target for mocking, the wedding sheet is another piece of cloth being derided by the female characters in Vogel's play. In Shakespeare's Othello, the wedding sheet is a sacred representation of Desdemona's chastity and honesty. When she is denounced by Othello as a whore and a devil for the loss of handkerchief, she makes a pathetic effort to prove her virtue by asking Emilio to lay out her blood-stained wedding sheet. Moreover, she not only longs for demonstrating her moral purity in this life, but also desires to maintain her image as a faithful wife after that death by requesting Emilio to shroud her body with the blood-stained wedding sheet. For Desdemona, the blood-stained wedding sheet is like a kind of testimony which can defend her respectful personality against insults from her husband and the society. In Vogel's play, the bedsheet remains to serve as proof of Desdemona's faithfulness, but unlike its sacred image in the source text, it is treated in an earthly and vulgar way. At the beginning of the play, by asking Emilio to scrub her bridal sheets with blood from baby hen, Desdemona challenges the practice of displaying blood-stained bridal sheets in demonstrate female chastity. Through her trick, Desdemona reveals how society depends on a beautiful facade to indoctrinate the dominant ideology concerning female virtues, and how flimsy and deceptive such a facade can be. Unlike Shakespeare's Desdemona, who contributes herself to the construction of that beautiful social facade, Vogel's Desdemona wrestles with the dominant culture by defacing the significance of the wedding sheet, which restricts female sexuality. For the lack of time, in my presentation today, I'll not discuss how Emilio and Bianca struggle for their subjectivity, respectively, and how the three female characters are tied together in their quest for individuality in Vogel's rewriting. I'll quickly move on to talk about the fate of Desdemona in both plays. It is undeniable that Vogel's rewriting offers Desdemona and the other two female characters possibilities of different choices and gender freedom in the world of their own. However, it does not bestow upon them opportunity of survival. It is indicated at the end of the play that both Desdemona and Emilio cannot escape the fate of being murdered by the approaching Othello. In Vogel's rewriting, she refuses to provide easy answers to solve the problems confronted by women and to celebrate achievements made by women without having a second thought on the limitations. Both in Shakespeare's play and Vogel's rewriting, Desdemona is under the watchful eyes of men, though to different degrees. In Shakespeare's Othello, we are constantly and directly reminded of the objectified and the subordinated status of women by the male characters. For example, when Desdemona's father learns that his daughter has married Othello and it is impossible to recapture obedience from Desdemona, who has won and been taken away by Othello, Desdemona's father wickedly warns Othello, "Look to her more. Have a quick eye to see, she has deceived her father, may do thee," in Act 1, Scene 3. It is in stark contrast that in Vogel's revision, no male characters actually appear on the stage, and the female characters seem to live on a land free from male surveillance. Such an unconstrained freedom for the female character is unfamiliar for us, and we are invited to meditate on this Elysian situation in a critical way. First of all, it is thought-provoking that the title of Vogel's revision is Desdemona, a play about a handkerchief, instead of Desdemona, which seems to be more interactive to the title of the source text. Vogel's stress on the importance of the handkerchief in her rewriting prompts us to ponder upon the significance of the handkerchief. Through the image of the handkerchief, Vogel seemed to suggest that her Desdemona is closely linked to Shakespeare's in terms of their miserable destiny, which is chained to the handkerchief from the very beginning of the revision. Despite the encouraging changes for the better concerning the status of female characters in her rewriting, the presence or the absence of the handkerchief is unchanged. By being aware what does not change, we are empowered to explore the deep-rooted cause of female oppression and probe the possibilities for future changes of the situation. In the revision, the unchanged magic power of the handkerchief is personified by the power of Othello. Throughout the play, though Othello never turns up, his power in controlling the fate of Desdemona can be frequently felt in an uneasy suspense. Regardless of Desdemona's superficial indifference towards the handkerchief, she is desperate to search for the handkerchief from the very beginning of the play in order to escape from punishment. For example, in episode 5, the cheerful talk between Desdemona and Emilio is stopped suddenly by Emilio's report on the arrival of Othello. Desdemona, who is eloquent in arguing with Emilio, is described as frightened. After a pause to compose herself, she arranged her face into a fluttering innocence, then ghoulishly runs to the door to meet her husband, who is supposed to be offstage. Then a distinct sound of a very loud slap is heard, and the Desdemona is seen back on the stage, holding her cheek and on the brink of tears. Though Othello is not shown on the stage, he is like the unseen magic power woven into the handkerchief itself, exerting his authority in an invisible but forceful way. In other words, the watchful eyes of Othello continue to haunt Desdemona in Vogel's revision in the form of the handkerchief, which constantly remind Desdemona of the consequence of infidelity. Apart from the unchanged influence of the handkerchief in relation to Othello's control over Desdemona's behavior, shadows of male behavior and the ideology seem to be flicker every now and then in the play. Within the community of the three women, there's class exploitation, sexual jealousy, and racial discrimination, which are usually prominent in the male world. First, by portraying the female characters from different social backgrounds, Vogel portrays a theatrical world which is highly class conscious. Desdemona is served by Emilio, who is an extremely faithful, hard-working servant, while Bianca is scorned by Emilio as a crude countrywoman who cannot speak properly and should enlarge her vocabulary. They are connected to each other chiefly on economic basis. The class tension between Desdemona and Emilio mirrors that between their husbands in Shakespeare's Othello, in which Iago hates his general partly out of his jealousy for Cassio's being appointed to the post of lieutenant, while Othello takes advantage of Iago's loyalty to his lordship and orders him to seek proof of Desdemona's infidelity. Besides the class conflicts among the female characters in Vogel's revision, the admirable friendship between Desdemona and Bianca finally turns into a kind of female sexual war out of their jealousy for men. In episode 23, on learning that the handkerchief presented by Cassio belongs to Desdemona, Bianca grows jealous and fierce by assailing Desdemona. In this episode, Vogel develops Bianca's slight suspicion and jealousy in Shakespeare's Othello to an outrageous burst of fury. In Othello, Bianca's discontentment of Cassio's possession of a token from a newer friend is easily eliminated by Cassio's promise to see her very soon that night. While in Vogel's play, Bianca seems to be inflamed with jealousy, which resembles that within the male characters in the source text. In Vogel's rewriting, Bianca impersonates such male jealousy not only through her verbal assault, but through her violent attempt to attack Desdemona with a hoof pick. In a sense, Desdemona in both theatrical texts force victims to sexual jealousy. It is particularly noteworthy that in Vogel's play, Bianca uses a hoof pick as a weapon to attack Desdemona, while Desdemona tries to defend herself with a wine bottle. From feminist and psychoanalytical point of view, both the hoof pick and the bottle are symbolic image for the phallus. By applying the symbolic phallus in the farcical duel, both Bianca and Desdemona try to arm themselves with male power. Moreover, in the course of the fighting, Bianca furiously accuses Desdemona as a whore. Bianca's calling Desdemona a whore, teeth and nail, echoes Othello's curse Desdemona as that cunning whore of Venice in Shakespeare's play. The image of Desdemona as a degenerated whore in the eyes of Bianca shows how the tradition of demonizing women has been passed on even through women themselves. Furthermore, the issue of racial discrimination, which is predominant in Shakespeare's Othello, does not fade in Vogel's theatrical world, composed of three female characters. Like their male ancestors, who judge Othello by the color of his skin, Vogel's female characters frequently teases Othello's dark skin, consciously or unconsciously, out of their deep-rooted prejudices against people of different colors. In Vogel's play, Othello's darkness fills their imagination with either fanciful daydreams or ugliness of human nature. In their eyes, Othello is not a human being with flesh and blood, but a type of character or an object, which is very different from the white Europeans. This, in her play, Vogel urges us to reflect how we women have lent a helping hand in victimizing ourselves as well as those who are marginalized in the society. In Vogel's revision, though the female characters endeavor to claim their subjectivity by defying tradition, they're dependent on men in one form or another. Desdemona's relying on Othello's exoticism to escape from the suffocating Venetian convention is a telling example of how women depend on men to realize their dreams and how unreliable men can be. As the play goes on, it is particularly ironical that Bianca, the admirable free woman in the eyes of Desdemona, is desperate to erase her image as an independent woman who is attached to no man. Toward the end of the play, Bianca's revealing of going to the priest every week in the hope of becoming unstained on her wedding night surprises and disappoints Desdemona, who believes that Bianca is not the type that wants to get married. Following her confession that she really a pious Christian who longs for marriage, Bianca totally shatters Desdemona's false illusion of her by vividly designing the blueprint for her married life. The sole purpose for Bianca to work hard is to save money for her dowry and get married. Her longing to have a respectable husband, a pleasant cottage, and rewarding children is a shared dream for many women. The only difference between Bianca and other women is that she earns the dowry and makes a deal in the marriage market by herself, while women like Desdemona are transferred from father to husband through marriage. In Vogel's play, though no male character actually appears on the stage, man's image as a savior in the gender relationship does not dwindle in the eyes of the female characters. In addition to women's illusory expectation of men, women both in Shakespeare's play and Vogel's revision are constricted by their gender roles played in the domestic sphere, which is embodied by the image of the bed. In both plays, women are confined to the bed to carry out their conjugal duty as well as to submit themselves to their final destiny. In Fatal Destiny, in Shakespeare's Othello, Desdemona is sent to bed by Othello twice, the wedding bed, which should be the place for marital reunion and a new life, is stained by Othello's diseased jealousy and is turned into a bier for Desdemona. In the bed, Desdemona fulfills her role as the wife, the scapegoat for male jealousy and violence. In Vogel's revision, Desdemona cannot escape the punishment of being killed by Othello at the end of the play either. The noticeable difference is that Shakespeare's Desdemona is passively in bed asleep when Othello walks in with the determination to put her to death, while Vogel's Desdemona makes the final effort to avoid the punishment by attempting to break away from the wedding bed. On being aware of her fate, Desdemona tells Emilio that she will go to her own chamber that night. Desdemona's refusal to go to the wedding bed shows her unwillingness to be submissive to the tragic fate imposed on her by her husband, and her attempt to control her own fate. Moreover, her referring to her own chamber and the bed suggests there is a possibility for her to seek shelter in her own private domain, which is away from the conjugal bedroom. Despite the whim for controlling her own fate, Vogel's Desdemona retreats to the fatal, false belief in Othello after a pause by saying, "Surely he will not harm a sleeping woman. I'd better go to bed." The illusion of believing Othello, who will show mercy on a sleeping woman who is vulnerable and helpless, reveals the Christian belief indoctrinated in Desdemona. Like Desdemona in Shakespeare's Othello, who firmly articulates the reason why she should be saved lies in the fact that she is a Christian, Vogel's Desdemona also clings to Christianity in a desperate situation. However, her illusion is relentlessly put to an end when she makes the resolution to go to bed. Finally, when Emilio reached the 100 strokes of Desdemona's hair with both of them in a frozen tableau, the terrifying and the devastating force of Othello can be disturbingly sensed by us. In Shakespeare's play, the play ends with the tragic loading of the bed with the bodies of Othello, Desdemona, and Emilio. In Vogel's rewriting, the absence of the blood-stained bed laid with dead bodies leaves us space to visualize possibilities for men and women to coexist apart from being victims in the bed. In a sense, Vogel's ending, without a definite conclusion, by only suggesting the possible death of Desdemona, can enlarge our mental landscape with a succession of question marks. Why does Desdemona have to die? Can she save herself or be saved? What kind of relationship can be built up between Othello and Desdemona besides that of victim and victimizer? To conclude, Vogel's play depends heavily on the plot of Shakespeare's Othello. However, we are invited to perceive the plot development of the play through the eyes of the female characters, who are mere functions or victims of male jealousy in the source text. The originally passive women are provided with opportunities to make their own choices in their search for a world other than the one defined and constructed by patriarchal tradition. Though the female characters are allowed more freedom in Vogel's theatrical world, their fate is predetermined by Shakespeare's tragedy, and both Desdemona and Emilio are very likely to die at the end of the play. Without saving her female characters, Vogel prompts her to prop the causes of the victimization of women. Unlike some feminist writers who tend to position men and women in the binary position of victimizers and victims, Vogel not only reveals the formidable male oppression, but also knows the problems embedded in women themselves, which obstruct their quest for a new world. Moreover, by having an intertextual relationship with Shakespeare's canonical work in discussing the status of women, their relationship with each other and with men, Vogel empowers her work with a historical perspective and highlights how these issues have been tackled in the past and in the present. In comparing the past with the present and perceiving the achievements as well as failures, we are preparing for future progress. Okay, thank you very much. That's the end of the presentation.